for JC and his wife to have a little support from them.
Yes.
Christine's more of a.
Let's begin this evening with a song. In fact, we could just do scripture reading and songs if you want to do that. Number 501. I'm gonna read the part of the chapter that this song is based on. It's from Isaiah chapter 1. And I'm gonna read a little bit. I'm gonna start at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11. This is God speaking. What makes you think I want all your sacrifices of rams and the fat of cattle? I get no pleasure from the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to worship me, who asks you to pray through my courts with all your ceremony? Stop bringing your meaningless gifts. The incense of your offerings disgusts me. As for your celebrations of the new moon and the Sabbath and your special days for fasting, they are all sinful and false. I want no more of your pious meetings. I hate your new moon celebrations and your annual festivals. They are a burden to me. I cannot stand them. When you lift up your hands in prayer, I will not look, though you offer many prayers. I will not listen for your ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the cause of the orphans. Fight for the widows. Come now, let us settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. If you will only obey me, there's some advice for you. Learn to do good and seek justice. Help the oppressed, defend the cause of the orphan, and fight for the rights of widows. First and last of 501. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Though your sins be as scarlet, though your as white as snow, he'll forgive your transgressions and remember them no more. He'll forgive your transgressions and remember them no more. Look unto me, ye people, saith the Lord.
They were pretty far off in sin. They were actually using the temple for false gods and everything else.
That's correct.
They were really bad. And they were violent and hurting people. And
Brian mentioned something in. What struck me when I heard him make this reference to the prodigal son is it's been a long time since I've heard anybody talk about any of the parables. What's a parable?
Well,
heavenly story with an earthly meaning?
No.
No, yeah.
Reverse.
Reverse, yeah. Well, I follow a different one.
An earthly story.
Earthly story.
Heavenly meaning, an earthly story with heavenly meaning. And, you know, and of all the parables, this is probably, the parable of the prodigal son is probably the most famous, sometimes called the pearl of parables. And so, does anybody want to read scripture? Come up and read scripture and say a prayer. Let's see, Jim, you start out with Luke 15, 1 through 7.
Okay.
No, wait.
11. 15:11 is the prodigal.
Yeah, 11. Yeah, we don't want to. Well, there's the lost sheep. You know, he tells three parables in a row. The lost sheep, rejoice with me because I found my lost sheep. And then this, look at verse 7, not to get off the subject, look at verse 7. Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. And then when he tells, the next parable he tells is the lost coin, and when the woman loses her coin, verses 8 through 10, woman loses her coin, searches carefully. When she finds it, she calls her friends in. In verse 10, in the same way, there is joy in heaven in the presence of God's angels when even one sinner repents. So there, if you want to make angels in heaven happy, turn away from your sins. And that will make, and will
help
you?
Help others.
What?
Turn away. And help others.
And help others. What makes you think Jesus will receive you if you do that? In John chapter 6, verses 37 and 39, Jesus said, whoever comes to me, what? Can you finish that?
I will in no wise cast out.
Jesus said, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out, in John chapter 6. So don't be afraid to come back to God. In fact, God's waiting. For as in the parable of the prodigal son, God is the Father, and he is anxious for you to return to him.
Look at Kathy getting baptized.
Karen
never got to see her come back to the Lord.
No.
Karen died, but
that was a Christian daughter, Kathy, who was baptized by Clarence, right? Mm-hmm. So her mother must be rejoicing over her return to God. Anyway, Jim, come up and read 11 through 16. And we'll talk about it.
Luke 15, verses 11 through 16. Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. Let me say a prayer for Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so very thankful again for this, the opportunity that we have that we can assemble together to present ourselves in worship to you and to read scripture, to sing songs of praise and to fellowship one with another. And again, we're just so very thankful for this time together this evening. Father, we're so very thankful that you are an ever constant presence in our lives, that you're there for us in our weakness and in the good times and in the times that try us, Father. We're just so thankful that you are that presence that we can come to for help. And Father, we're just so very mindful of so many people in this congregation that are going through trials at this time. And we just pray that you continue to bless them and help them and to keep them free from pain and to help us to say and do those things that would be of encouragement to them. And Father, at this time, we also are mindful of those that are traveling, that are away from home. And we pray for a safe journey for those folks. And again, Father, we're just so very thankful for this time that we have to be together, to again, fellowship one with another and sing songs of praise and to focus on your word. In Christ's holy name we pray. They have a drum.
Okay, we've got two sons, and the younger son told his father he wants to share. I don't know whether it's quite as wild as the older brother makes it out to be later, but pretty wild.
Older brothers are usually pretty accurate.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Began to starve. Okay. He became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. And then verse 17. That's a key verse in a lot of Bibles. Verse 17. When he finally came to his senses, some verses say he finally came to himself. I mean, it was one of those just moments. What am I doing? Where you've wondered, why in the world did I say that? Why did I do that? Why did I think that? You know, I've read that some people are shocked by their own sins. They're actually shocked that they would do something or say something like that or think something. You know, they're shocked. And he came to himself. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.'" What do you think about his response? Sound pretty good? Yeah, it sounds pretty good to me. I mean, he's saying, I've sinned against heaven and you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. A lot of people, that's the old bit. I've prayed for forgiveness about this sin so many times, I'm no longer worthy to pray for forgiveness. Well, you are. That's right. You're not worthy to pray. But the question is, were you worthy the first time you came to Christ? No, you were never worthy. So it's grace. We are sons. We have to trust in the grace of God. And that's what we need to do. We need to trust in God's mercy and grace. We don't need to impress God. We need to trust God in his mercy. For he's merciful and he's full of grace. So mercy and grace is not based on what we do. It's based on what Christ did. That's our hope, that he made the perfect sacrifice on the cross. He took our place. I was condemned to die, but Jesus took my place. He bore it all. We need to make him king of our lives, and we need to obey him. We all know John 3:16, but do we know that verse in Hebrews? He became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. To all those who obey him. So there's faith and there's obedience. That sounds like a good song. Like, maybe you can make a song out of that. How about trust and obey? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus except to trust and obey. There we are. Okay, so he, verse 17, to me is a key verse. He finally woke up. He came to his senses. What am I doing? Eating pigs. I'm eating pig food. What am I doing? And then he prays a nice prayer. I have sinned. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. That's true. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he's willing to come back to where at least there's some decent food and a place to live, and even as a hired servant. Now, what will the father do? Now the question is, what will the father do? Anybody else want to be a reader? Clarence, read 20 through 27.
Want me to come up there or read it back here?
You can read it back there, whatever you want, 20 through 27.
And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, Bring out the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. And bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field. Asked what these things meant. And he said to him, Your brother has come. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed a fatted calf.
The boy seemed very repentful, and it's always been interesting to me when his father sees him way off, he runs out to meet him. That's pretty good. You know, there's so many things would go through my mind in that situation. You know, I may not have had the love and the mercy and the grace to do what the father did. Who's the father in the parable? God. God is the father in the parable. There's no way around it. And who are we? Who's the kid?
The prodigal.
That's us. That's us.
Yeah.
We're the prodigal. Yeah. We're the ones that have moved. God, we're the ones that moved away from God. We haven't. God has, you know, God is always there. We moved away from him. It's like the when they put the little cars that used to have the bed sheets across. The husband, the little wife says, "Remember when we were young? We used to sit so close in the front seat when we were dating, and then we got married. We used to sit snuggle up next to each other and look at us now." Husband's reply is, I'm still where I was. You're the one that moved over by the door. You're over by the door now. I'm right where I was behind the wheel. Mm-hmm. So it's the wife that has moved away from that warmth. Okay. So we have grace upon grace. We have forgiveness and a party. I mean, it's amazing what God will do. You know, when I think of grace, I think of unmerited favor. But grace is a lot of things that I think. I think grace is more than just undeserved favor. It is that, and I'm thankful for that. I'm glad that we have undeserved favor with God, but He continues to help us in our lives. And keep it, if we will try to stay on the right road. What does it say in 1 John? Let's see if I can find it. First John chapter 1, this is the message we've heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light, God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So if we walk in the light, the blood continually cleanses us. And then, of course, we always can go to verse 8. If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us. Not only to forgive us our sins, but to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. So if we walk in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us. So let's try to do that. Anything else we can glean from Luke 15? Or you want to read some?
Yeah. Yeah, you want me to read the rest of that there?
20.
15?
Yeah.
The rest of the 15?
Well,
yes.
Where are we?
Starting at 28.
Yeah.
Starting at 28, verse 28.
Start with 25.
25? The older son who was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked, What these things mean? And he said to him, "Your brother has come, because he has received him safe and sound. Your father has killed the fatted calf." But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and plead with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have no transgression in your commandments at any time, and yet you have never given me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as the son and yours came, who had devoured your livelihood for the harlots, and you killed the fatted calf for him," he said to him, "Son, are you always with me, and all that I have is yours? It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and he came alive again. To be rejoicing, and so in old age the gospel." The moral of the story there. He came back.
No, any sympathy for the brother?
I feel it.
What?
I understand. It's human nature. Plus, actually, his son was justified. He was right. He was right. But there's a lot going on in here and a lot to unpack. The son considered the brother dead. Because if you notice, the son, the older brother says, "Your son, not my brother."
Yeah.
He says, "Not, you know." Then the father turns it back on him, "Your brother." All right, so the son throws it out, the father gives it back to him, and the father teaches him a good lesson. Okay? He's your brother no matter what he's done. All right.
It's an occasion of joy if he comes back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think both of those, the prodigal son and the brother.
You've been both?
Yeah.
The older brother and the prodigal.
And the prodigal son. At one point in my life, when I was younger, I could be like the older brother.
Yeah.
You know,
You're working.
Thine shall the glory be, lest I pray.
Father, we're so very thankful again for this opportunity to come together. And Father, we're just so very mindful of, again, of your abundant love. And Father, we're mindful of that love as we assemble around this table to partake of this bread, which brings to mind the body of your Son and our Savior, Christ Jesus, who died upon the cross. We pray that you'd bless this bread, which brings to mind his body, that you bless those that were taken this evening, that they would do so in a worthy, acceptable manner, remembering the sacrifice that was made on that cross on our behalf. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we continue with this memorial that we're taking to this fruit of the vine, which brings to our minds the blood that was shed upon the cross by your Son and our Savior, Christ Jesus. Blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. We ask, Father, you bless this cup, bless those who partake of this evening. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. That concludes this evening's observance of the Lord's Supper. The offering tray will be left on the front table for those wishing to give before we leave.
Say to a brother like that, who wasn't happy.
I think the father did right. He told him, that's your brother. I think he had the exact thing to say. But it doesn't mean that the selfishness of the brother would be worked on overnight. I think everyone probably selfish at one time or another in their life. Mothers and fathers to their children feel differently than the siblings feel about each other.
Yeah.
But there's still love there. I mean, normally people love their brothers and sisters, but mothers and fathers will, like it says in the Old Testament a lot, blood of my blood, flesh of my flesh, that's part of them. So I think they have a deeper feeling for their children than maybe siblings have for each other.
Spoken like a true mother. a parent.
I mean, well,
female parent.
With the older brother, the young son took off to a far country and wasted his inheritance. This guy stayed in there with his parents. My version says, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And all that time you never even gave me one young goat for a feast with my friends. I mean, you can sort of understand where this guy's coming from.
Goat calf. I mean,
yeah.
I think the older brother's totally wrong. I accept my kids and my, I can't even imagine. It's like people that come in here, you have to accept them when they come back to God. You have to teach them and you have to love them and you have to support them.
Yes, I think that older brother, he sinned as much as the younger one because he showed jealousy. He didn't feel like the father did, that he, was proud to see him and see him turn back to God. He was thinking of the earthly. He wasn't thinking of the spiritual.
Earthly situation.
Yes. Yeah. And he, I just think that the oldest one was worse, really, than the younger, what he did. At least the younger one confessed. But then some people think when you fall from grace, you just go to God in prayer. But the listening to that story, no, you have to go in, like, before the church and confess your wrongs, and then into the Lord, too. You have to do to both. He did to both. He went to his earthly father, then he went to God, spirit.
Harold, do you have something to say?
Well, I think I think Faye was right. I think the son, the brother, the older brother, he was looking to me exactly like monetarily what he was losing. like monetarily and worldly. He was thinking worldly. But the bottom line, and number two, he wasn't counting his blessings. He was trying to twist it and see what he was angry at his brother, number one, and he was trying to see everything that was wrong. And number three, if he would have thought about it right, he would have loved his brother and wanted him to come back. But he did what I think a lot of people do. They think carnally, materialistically. He was very angry at his brother. And also, the older brother, it's strange because he was twisting this and making everything bad. And the bottom line, his father said, "Everything I have is yours." If he would have asked his father, give me.
Since he didn't get to run with prostitutes like that younger brother, instead of being happy to serve his father and do the work, he felt cheated because he didn't misbehave.
Wow.
Too, that's a possibility. I mean, he's saying, look at this jerk, he's out doing all this, and I'm working.
Which.
I mean, I don't know what his heart was.
I'm with the older brother, and I'm going to ride with the older brother till it's all over. However, a story here too is when people are doing things, we need to remember to appreciate them, okay? And the older brother felt like he wasn't appreciated.
He never got a
right. That's hey, look, you never showed me. You know, we have to appreciate those that are pulled. Don't muzzle the ox. There we go. Yeah. Don't muzzle the ox. Yeah. Pat him on his head or something.
And the funny thing about the younger brother that someone mentioned, remember Jewish people, pigs were the lowest form of, they couldn't eat pigs. And here he was taking care of the pigs. So this was the furthest he could find.
So don't waste your inheritance on wild living.
I want a calf. I want a calf. I want a calf.
Okay. Let's sing number 666. And Clarence, after this, after a couple of verses. I am thy Lord. I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, the Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot dwell till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord.
Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the privilege that we have to have assembled in your household this evening. We're thankful, Father, for the privilege that we've had to render a worship service to you today. We hope and pray that the things that we've done will have been pleasing and acceptable in your sight. We're thankful, Father, for your Son Jesus, who sacrificed on the tree of the cross, made all of this possible. We're thankful, Father, for your blessings of mercy, grace, and you give us, Father, the ability to have salvation and to be with you when our life on earth is over. We pray for men everywhere that all would repent and be obedient to your will. We ask, Father, your blessings on those of our number who are traveling. We ask for peace and safety with them. And finally, Father, as we close, we ask for forgiveness of our sins. It is in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Amen.